Hello gamers, and welcome to GameWarp. I'm your host, the delusional Elwood Jones, major of the the Heavy Metal Light Brigade. And I'm joined, of course, by player number two, Miss Kim Lowe.
Wow, I didn't think I had to remember all of that, but I'm the whimsical Tranquil, otherwise known as Kim. I come from nice. Candy Hammer, that's all I remember.
I'm from the planet that apparently is very similar to Manchester. That's all I know about it. So.
Okay, mine was Candy Hammer. It was like the mathematical equation of the perfect croquembouche or something like that. And I was like, hey, desserts, I like that.
Tonight we are talking about The Artful Escape, a wonderful new indie title from publisher Annapurna, and developed by Beethoven and Dinosaur. A reminder that we've apparently run out of names for companies now, so we're just throwing words together. But yeah, this is a game that is currently available on the Xbox Game Pass. So this is one for you to check out there after this. You've listened to this episode, if you haven't done already. But it's set in the fictional town of Calypso, Colorado, where the nephew of the deceased folk legend John Venedetti is currently having the 20th anniversary of his groundbreaking album being celebrated by the town, and his nephew Francis is all set to make his debut. However, he's struggling with himself as an artist and feels that he's something of a fraud living, trying to break out of his uncle's shadow. To make matters worse, he's also kidnapped by aliens before being taken on a light, fantastic journey across the universe to discover his true musical self in this wonderfully bright and colourful indie platformer. Kim, your opening thoughts on this one, because this is one that you brought to the table, because after all, you are the overlord of all indie games, so...
I wouldn't say that. I mean, I've had my eye on Artful Escape for a while. I mean, I caught a few of the interviews and while they were, like, before launch, and I'm also a person that really loves, like, not only do I like, you know, side-scroller platformer-style things, and I also like a lot of musical journeys, I guess. Yeah. So, I mean, this was right up my alley, and, I mean, they added in, like, this kind of Guitar Hero-esque type of function to it, which I didn't know was part of the deal, which I was pretty happy about. So, I think, you know... The story itself, you know, first impressions-wise, I really, you know, I love colorful games. I like that sort of musical element, and I like a lot of creativity and imagination, and Artful Escape is kind of like a little bundle of all of that, because all the alien creations and the whole thing reminded me a lot of, I think in some ways it reminded me a lot of, especially with, like, the word bubbles and stuff, it kind of reminded me, like, After Party, but like a more stripped down version, when you had to get to choose and there was all these like whimsical type of little conversations with these random people, like random aliens, I guess.
Yeah, of course. Well, the game itself was conceived by Johnny Galvatron, who's one of the founding members and the lead guitarist of the band The Galvatrons, who formed the production company Beethoven and Dinosaur. And had actually studied film and computer animation in college before his band got signed by Warner Brothers. So after 10 years of music, he decided he was going to go and finally pursue his interest in video games, and this being his first effort, so to speak. And I have to say, I'm very excited to see what he follows this up with, as this is a game that really sort of taps into many of his sort of interests. And in particular, it gives us a story which he describes as a interstellar trip to create Ziggy Stardust, and while at the same time citing influences from the likes of Kubrick, Wes Anderson, Steven Spielberg to establish his art style for the game. And certainly when I was like looking at that list, I mean, the fact that the game has Jason Schwartzman in as one of providing voice work for one of these characters, it's sort of like, I can really see the Wes Anderson link there, so.
Well, I mean, if you would just talk about, like, voice talent here, it's packed with a lot of pretty, you know, not only is it famous names, but in terms of actors and actresses, but Also, if you look at some of the credits for some of the other voice actors, whether it's in movie or gaming, a lot of them have done some pretty decent work also. Maybe not, like, main characters or anything, but at least, you know, characters that I can kind of remember from the games that I have played, at least. I mean, just, you know, just starting off, we have, you know, Carl Weathers, which is a big one.
Notable 80s action hero, Carl Weathers. Yeah, he plays your guide, I would guess. He plays Lightman, who's this sort of interstellar rock star who sort of guides you on your journey.
Exactly.
And yeah, he's great.
Yeah, it's really fun. I mean, Lightman has such a, you know, like a pep, and he has that kind of like, because he, you know, right away you start him off and he's the captain of the cosmic lung. And right away, it's like he sends you on these different planets where you have to face all these things and, you know, kind of face up to his own issues type of thing, before he comes back and he realizes, you know, that he's, you know, he's kind of overcome a lot of himself, and, you know, has accept this new type of, I guess, popularity and fame. But I mean, aside from that, we have kind of a bit of a smaller role, but still a rather, I guess, key side character is a tastemaker that's voiced by Lena Headey. Is that how you say her name?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, I really love her. I think that she shows up in so many, like, not only is it films that, you know, she ends up showing up in so many random movies, like, in some very unexpected movies. But, I mean, now she's headed into gaming, and I, you know, I really love her voice, like, her accent and her voice and stuff like that. I know how you feel about this, but it's exoticism of people living in the Americas. But, I mean, okay. I think her voice is really, really, it's very, like, unique. Like, you can really tell it's her whenever she speaks.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Lena Headey's had a long storied history of playing interesting characters. I mean, obviously, we all probably know her best as playing Cersei on Game of Thrones, but before that, she was obviously Sarah Connor in the Sarah Connor Chronicles. She was Marmar in Judge Dredd, or Dredd, as it was better known.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, here she's just, it's a small role, but it's a memorable role that she plays, and she plays such like a key introduction to this fantastical world that we get into, because I mean this game starts off actually kind of slow, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be a bit of a drag for the 2 hours or so of runtime, because you start off in your small Colorado town, you're running through the woods, and it's all very pretty, it's all very Life is Strange, and for some reason everyone wears sunglasses in this town, no idea why. But, yeah, you go up and down escalators, and it's all fun and games. And then, like, suddenly you're kidnapped by aliens and thrown into, like, this fantastical vision of space where everything's, like, super colorful and musical inspired. And Lena Headey's, like, the first big thing you encounter as the tastemaker, who you originally mistake as being God, and it's sort of like, oh no, I'm not God, but I saw her once from afar. She was playing pinball. They all love pinball.
They said that, and I was like, oh my God, Elwood is gonna get a kick out of this.
Yeah, I was like, damn right, we all love pinball. It's like, now this is now my favorite game in the whole world. Just for referencing pinball, yeah. And as you go on, I mean, the whole purpose of this game is about this character, about Francis basically finding himself, because when he's introduced, he's trying to make it as a folk musician, but he has no interest in being a folk musician. He just feels that this is a role he has to step into because of who his uncle was. And the game just like right hits the right note straight off the bat, as it's sort of like, press X to play a jaunty melody about miners. And then you just, like, strum away, and then it's like, press X to play a jaunty song about sea captains. And then it's like, press X to shred something, and then it goes off in this, like, Rush-esque prog fantasy moment, which will pretty much be the music for this. So if you're a fan of, like, Rush and prog rock, you'll probably really love this, because it's basically all that sort of iconology that the game's working with here, so.
Yeah, and it's really great, because they integrate this whole music thing, where you're basically, like, I basically spent all of it with X mash down every time I ran through the levels. You just play through the whole thing, and then things would start lighting up, and different creatures would start growing, and, you know, it was like this whole ecosystem, alien ecosystem, that would just come to life. And I think that it's so charming, because, you know, like, even when you do a jump, and then you press X, and then you strum on your guitar super, and then it would make this, like, crazy jump, and then it'd be, like, massive leap type of thing. And yeah. I think it's just integrated so well. Like, I think, you know, honest as it is, this game is very, very basic. I mean, whether you talk about the story and the plot itself, it is very straightforward. You kind of, you know, who hasn't talked about, you know, finding yourself and, you know, facing up to yourself and living up to what you want instead of someone else's shadows and stuff like that. But the game itself is structured in a way where, you know, you go through one level and then you get sucked through this, I don't know, wormhole or something. And then you go to a planet and then you have to run through it, do all this platforming thing. and then this whole platforming sequence and different type of backgrounds and different planets with different settings, and it's basically the same thing. You know, your end goal is you're gonna stop at a platform, and you're either gonna have to play a musical battle with air quotes, or you copy the person, the aliens, like, whatever tune that's going on, and then eventually you get to the end and you have to do, like, a boss. They are also air quotes, a boss battle, which is also similar to the middle ones, but a little bit more complex. And then you move on, basically. Like, everything is structured and very linear. But I think that the charm is really in, like, the visual design and just, I guess, the simplistic, how simplistic it is. But also, I personally think the dialogue was pretty fun. Like, a lot of the characters were pretty fun to meet, and they had some, like, interesting conversation, even if it was a little weird sometimes. But I mean, I really like weird, so it was really right up my alley.
Yeah, definitely. So I mean, this is a game that really is carried by story more than its actual gameplay. I mean, this is not to say that the gameplay is bad, and it is very sort of simple sort of game, and it's very, you know, a side-scrolling platformer, but this isn't like Mario level of difficulty. This is all pretty simple, just run and jump mechanics. And even when you get into, as you said, the boss battles, which are basically this rhythm based game. So if you ever played Simon Says, you know, the old Follow the Colored Lights, that's basically what you do in this, but it's not as harsh. It allows you to mess up, which is really great from a bit uncoordinated people like myself, especially when you get into some of them and it's sort of like going really crazy on the screen. It's like the combinations you have to follow. But at the same time, when you're doing these battles, it builds up to like these huge, like epic sort of rock opera moments where you have like hit those final keys and it's like bah bah, and it's like it does, you hit this endomorphic sort of high of just doing this bit. And that's what the game really shines, is just how good you feel playing it.
Yeah,
because you get involved in this story and you don't care about the simplicity of the platform because you're so involved in this story and just like the world that you're traveling through. And as you said, you're pressing X, you're strumming, things are coming to life. There's a scene where you've got these floating skulls that light up every time you strum your guitar, and it's like, this is just so great.
Yeah,
I don't care, this is simple.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, you know, that's why sometimes it's, you know, like, it's exactly, I think, the reason why you like games like, say, What Remains of Edith Finch, which is, you know, obviously one of the highest rated games for us on the show so far. And, you know, games like this is really great because there is a simplicity to it. But it's also, I think when we were talking about it, the word that popped up was it was just delightful and satisfying. You were playing this and it was such a feel-good moment. Just, you know, the entire time you're just strumming this guitar and it would just, like, play whatever it would play. And you would be doing this platformer with this, like, soundtrack in the background that was just so energizing. So it really gave a lot of life, which kind of created this contrast to like the first, I don't know, what, half an hour or something when you're spending the time in Calypso before he gets kidnapped. So I don't know. I mean, I you know, at one side, I think that the game itself is very, there are many things that give it, you know, a lot of simplicity to it. But I think that in this case, it's just the execution is done so well that it adds so much charm to it.
Yeah, it's definitely what where the game sort of shines, really. Because this is a problem, because people often consume, like, simplistic gameplay with boring gameplay. And this game, as we said already, it just never feels boring. I mean, yes, the gameplay is very simple, which is great as well, because if you're playing this on, like, your mobile or something, it plays absolutely fantastic. Or if you want to obviously have it on the big console, whatever works for yourself, really. But, no, I think this is, like, one of those experiences, like, you know, when you pick up a book and you read it cover to cover. I think this is, like, one of the first times I picked up a game and just, like, pretty much played it from, like, start to finish in one sitting. It's just like, oh, I want to see what happens next. And certainly as you go along and you're building this, you're finding your alter ego, so you build up your backstory and when we say you build your backstory, these are all these exaggerated, like, prog rock things. Hence, you are the general of the Heavy Metal Light Brigade. Or yeah. when you create your name, and it's sort of like, oh, I am the awesome, or I'm the elusive, or I'm the overly confident. You have all these different adverbs, and it's funny how the game, like, will recognize all these different adverbs for yourself, but at the same time, it will just, like, give you a riff when it comes to your name. And then it's sort of like you must choose your planet, and then you go and choose your look, and you build yourself back up into, like, this interstellar rock star before you, like, go and finally answer your calling. So
yeah, I think that's really nice, like the whole customizable thing throughout the game, and you can go as far fetched as you want or even as grounded as you want. So it's kind of like, obviously, I don't know. I mean, I wonder how many people would go for the grounded. I mean, I went very far-fetched, but at the same time, like, my outfit was something that I personally thought was very reasonable. It was very colorful, yeah. But very reasonable.
I was pretty grounded myself. It's sort of like, looked like someone at the Strokes just wear a really green t-shirt. although I did toy with the skeleton suit for a while. I thought that was pretty cool.
I should have like screenshot my character, and then we would have posted it on Instagram or something. That would have been pretty fun.
I did one screenshot from the game, and it's when you return to the ship and you go into the disco area.
Yeah.
And then at this point you've, like, raised your status, and you hear them talking about you, and it's so, like, it goes, I liked Elwood Jones before he was cool. Do you even own an Elwood Jones t-shirt? And I was like, screenshot that. That's my new Twitter wallpaper right there. So, I think I'm in the middle of these two characters, but I just was like, oh, that's so funny to me. So, yeah, I was playing on the mobiles. They're trying to get it to screenshot at the same time before it all clicked off. So,
yeah, but I mean, mobile is so much easier to do the screenshot. Like, I was playing on PC, so I don't really think about it as much. But yeah, I mean, that would have been really nice. I mean, I'll see if I can get back into the game, and then I'll screenshot my character or something. Go backtrack to a chapter.
Yeah, I mean, this is. Why we have Game Pass. And this is, so to say, I think if I bought this game, I probably would have been a little more disappointed. I don't know how much this is, actually, but the fact that this is on Game Pass makes this such a great title, because you don't mind if it's short. It's just sort of like a pick-up-and-play experience, and I think certainly the fact that you can stream titles as well on the Game Pass, I think, works even better, really, because this is one of those titles. It works just really well on a mobile platform. So, I really definitely really enjoyed this one. This has been a highlight of the year for myself.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've had some disappointing games throughout the year so far, and I mean, I can't really complain, because I went into this one and I was a little not sure, because the game was, you know, I chose this initially not only for my interest but also because it was a decent length that fit the current situation I was in. So just in terms of time, right? Time. And it works right now because you play this, and I think that the length has a lot to do with how great the pacing of this whole thing is, because I can't imagine playing more than the game that that's presented here. I think that might feel like it drags a little bit more, but at the same time, it also, you know, has a really nice ending, and everything kind of wraps up itself really well, and I think it's really fun. I mean, I had a really great time. It made me feel super happy.
That's what we need. I think if this had come out in lockdown, then this would have been the game of choice, not Animal Crossing. We just could have all rode the light fantastic. And there is a moment, like towards the end, where you go into these beams of light and you have to strum your guitar, and it's sort of like, yeah, you're just playing up the rock thing now, aren't you? It's not like gonna ride the light fantastic. But yeah, I just did. I think there was one or two moments. I mean, obviously the riff and bass bits I suck at, so they were pretty a little tricky. And there's a segment where you're running through the city of hipsters, and you've got all these doors that are sort of closing, so it's all real sort of closely timed jumps. And I could not do this one jump where a door was closing. So.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that one where it was like, oh, they don't want you to be there, and it's like the fashionista thing and stuff, and everybody's dissing you while you're running down the thing.
So, I can't remember there is a fair amount of customization, not only with like you have a choice as you go, but you can also with your personality, you can reflect to yourself in the free branch system that it gives you. I think there was the options it gave you were all pretty sort of standard. There was never like a chance where it's sort of like, oh, that don't match the journey I'm going for. So I think definitely in terms of the writing, it was really exciting to see. And as I said, I'm excited to see what Johnny Gavitron gives us next. A man whose nerdy credentials let him fly, because it's obviously based on the Transformers movie.
So what would you score the Artful Escape?
Artful Escape? I can't give any less than 5. I mean, this is like maximum scores across the board for myself. I just really enjoyed it. I mean, it's probably got its limitations, obviously, if we on like the surface there, but I just had such a fun time with this, and it was sort of like the game I needed at this moment, just to really sort of get me back into gaming, so to speak. So, but yeah, this was just a really fun time from start to finish.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I don't know if I give it a five, maybe like a 4.5, something like, just because, you know, taking into a more objective element of, you know, some of the simplistic elements of it. But I really did have such a great time with it, and it's hard to give it lower than that, because it's such a fun game. And I think when you look back to the games we've played this year, other than the uber relaxing Spiritfarer, which was also such a feel good type of game.
Yes, of course.
I mean, Artful Escape is a different level. You know, it kind of is short, and it gets, you know, it's that one sitting game which gives you the dose of feel good that you need to kind of get you back to, you know, kind of being energetic and positive. And I think that all these good vibes is what really gives it such a, you know, really like makes me want to rate it very high.
Yeah, I found it a similar experience to After Party in many ways.
Yeah. Even like the dialogue, the way they the font that they use and stuff like that, it actually is very, very similar, I think. It actually made me want to go back and play After Party.
That's never a bad thing, though, to want to go back and play After Party again. So, because that was another great highlight of the year. So, I think unlike, you know, compared to obviously like Spiritfarer, which obviously got a little tiresome in the busy work, this one it was just it knew where it wanted to go, and the way it handles it was just really, really great. So.
Well, I mean, this one is always moving. I think that's one of the positives, is that this one is you're always moving. It's always going forward. Your storyline is always propelling forward, and you're always meeting new people, talking about new things, moving forward. And I think that all that is very important when you talk about, you know, just the game execution. And I mean, this game does it really well, because it's especially it being a debut title and all. I think, you know, for sure. I mean, I'm interested in seeing what Beethoven and Dinosaur does next.
Well, that brings us into tonight's episode. Thank you, as always, for listening. If you haven't done already, please do go and check the game out, and it's available on Game Pass. And you know what also? Hit that like and subscribe button so you make sure you never miss an episode of the show. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. Come and say hi to us. And, you know, leave us a rating. Let us know what you think of the show. You can also check out our full archive episodes at gamewhatblog.wordpress.com, where we have all kinds of reviews, the archive, and other fun stuff on there as well. But until next time, thank you very much for listening. Thanks to my co-host Kim, and we will be back very soon with another title. Until then, good night.